Good evening, welcome to the September Quorum Court meeting. This evening, Justice Jason Lyon is going to lead us in the prayer and pledge. Stand if you will.
Father, we ask that you guide us in our decisions tonight. We thank you for the citizens that come out to voice their opinions. Allow us to listen to everyone and know that we are here for them.
Thank you. You may be seated. Shall we have the roll, please?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Here.
Coates.
Present.
Grady. Kendricks.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Lahosky.
Here.
Lyon.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Roberts.
Here.
Schock.
Here.
Strain.
Here.
Tyler.
Present.
What's the count? 12.
All right, Justices, if you look in your packet, you have received the minutes from last month's meeting. What is your pleasure? I'll accept the motion.
Make a motion to approve the journal from August.
Second.
All right, motion second. Any discussion or changes or additions or deletions? Seeing none, all in favor of adopting those minutes as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes to be approved. County officers' reports. Our treasurer, Scott Sampson.
Thank you, Judge. You'll turn me to summary of statements for Quorum Court, January 1st, 2023 through August 31st, 2023. County General Fund, $1,004,741,669.45. County Road Fund, $2,004,591,170.59. County Road Sales Tax Fund, $3,402,410,818.48. Animal Welfare and Control Fund 3404, $1,503,386.11. Criminal Justice Fund 3407, $2,330,589.50. Coronavirus Relief Fund 1005, $731,563.62. American Rescue Plan Fund 3046, $20,635,582.53. Flipping to page 2, as you can see, the county general revenue is still holding above the 2021 county general revenue. This is a good sign. However, I'm still real reluctant to say it's great yet, just because we had such a good tax collection in April that we saw in May. I want to wait till after this October jump up with this other tax collection before I really make a good claim on that. Turn to page 3. Sales tax for August is $1,162,920.45. That's down 1.71% versus last year. We're still running at a 4.46% above 2021 running total. And for the year, we collected $9,205,734.26, 71% of our projected $13 million. And if you look with me on the last page, with the negative revenue collection and sales tax for August, and it turns down our 3-month and our 1-year moving average. We're still above in our 3-month, but we're kind of looking a little bit more closely into that.
Thank you, Mr. Treasurer. Any questions or comments for our treasurer?
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you for that. County Clerk and Secretary Margaret Darter.
My statement of operation is in the budget book. If y'all have any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer those.
Then I see Chief Deputy. Well, are there any questions for our county clerk? Thank you for that report. Chief, do you have a report from the Sheriff's Department today?
I do not, sir. We do
have a program. Very good. Thank you. Thank you for attending. And our ARP Administrator, Tom Anderson with Rudd Report and ARP Report.
Thank you, Your Honor. If you'll turn your attention to page 4 to start with, we have two of the bigger expenditures for this period. The Conway Court Lower Ridge Road Water Project. We spent $292,000 this period. They're expecting to be done with that early spring. They've laid most of their pipe, but now they're going back to the connections. And then page 5, at the bottom, Bologna 107 Schultz. We spent $286,000 on that this period. They're almost complete. They were doing their final bore across the old Highway 64 last week. I haven't been out there this week to check on it, but that was nearing completion on that. Those are the two big highlights on the expenditures for the ARP funds for this period. Unless there's any questions, I'll move to the road report.
Any questions?
Mr. Anderson?
Yes, sir.
This isn't necessarily pointed at anyone particularly, but I just wanted to, maybe you can give us an example. When we were up here arguing about how to spend this money a year ago or whenever it was, and all the mayors and everyone else was up here, I remember one of them saying he was out there in the ditch with a shovel, with muddy boots,
that's right,
doing the work. But so far, the expenses, you know, is 21% complete. So what's the example of why they aren't getting out there and doing it?
They had a big order of pipe recently, and they're waiting for the final bill for that to come in. Once they get that, and also they're trying to build their sewer building. Right now they just have one building, and they won't let them operate water and sewer out of the same building. So they're trying to keep their supplies segregated. So they're trying to get all their ducks in a row, and they're trying to get a vacuum pump truck before they start installing the last part of the sewer pipe.
Okay, that sounds good. That's a good. So it's not necessarily that they aren't doing the work. It may be a lot of planning leading up to it and a lot of paperwork
for getting it
settled out.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you. I assume the Desla House goes on with the Worcester wastewater. Is that going to be the same thing with the Greenbrier wastewater project as well?
Greenbrier is waiting on state funding. They're part of the state funding to get started.
And then, having listened to it last year, the emergency pump station up in Mount Vernon, I mean, they seem to, I remember them coming in July, August of last year saying it was an emergency, and I see that they've spent 5%.
They went through the bid process, the engineering to complete that, and then the bid process, that contract has been awarded. They had their pre-construction meeting. Once that was done, the contractor ordered the parts he's going to need. And some of those are on back order, so he's waiting on those to get in before he gets started.
Thank you.
Good question. Any further questions on ARP of those expenditures and projects that were appropriated in money?
All right, if you'll turn your attention to the road report. We still don't have a lot of output from Rogers Group, only 2.8 miles asphalt. They're still working on state projects. We expect them later in the fall to turn most of their attention, probably to paving crews at some point, to us. We have been chip sealing roads within the road department workforce. We've done that almost 5 miles since the last report. South Hill Bridge is nearing completion. It's open to traffic. They're just doing some of the wing walls and the final touches, and they'll put asphalt in when all that's complete. They expect to be totally complete by October 10th. And then the stoplight at 286 in Scott Hollow is still with the Highway Department for approval of the plans. Subject to questions, Mr. Chairman, that's all I have.
Any questions? Thank you for that. And I will say that was an impressive operation. We out at South Hill Road, just south of the 8 Mile store. If you haven't had a chance to see that, that area has had drainage issues since before any of us were born. And you know, it's really good to see the progress there, and really pleased with building a diversion so the traffic is not just stopped and the road closed. So if there was one lane of traffic, we had traffic lights on either end that would allow traffic to go across the one lane diversion back and forth. And really, really happy with the way that thing progressed very quickly as drainage work goes. So really excited about that, looking forward to that to be open. Like I said, it is open. They haven't finished the base course or the top coat of asphalt, and they've got to pour the wing walls or the concrete structure on the side where the diversion was. So really excited about that. If you get an opportunity to go out there and look at that, that's pretty good project. So, all right. Any other officers' reports here tonight? Standing committee reports. How about Courts and Public Safety, Justice Copes?
Thank you, Judge. Courts and Public Safety held a meeting this last week. We did discuss the Pine Village Volunteer Fire Department dues and putting that on the ballot to raise those dues. We will that will come before the court later tonight. Our meeting was mainly about more informational type matters. We did open animal shelter bids on that Tuesday of committees. The animal shelter bid did come in at $1.2 million. We had two bids there with soft costs that would come in about 20% with that. That would allow for the furniture and kennels and all that kind of stuff. County Administrator Higgins gave us that plan. And then we also discussed the jail expansion. And again, County Administrator Higgins came forward with the plans, and we discussed kind of where that money was going to come from throughout our committee. And I'm assuming that we will probably see that those projects come back up before the court in the next couple of months.
Absolutely. Anything else?
That's it.
Any questions for our Chair of the Courts and Public Safety Committee? I will add, we did receive bids from the animal shelter refit, and we're in the process. As you know, it's not the lowest bidder, it's the lowest responsible bidder, which puts a burden on the county judge's office to do due diligence on the bids that came in. We're in that process. So I would look forward to hearing some updates next committee meeting, and would not be surprised to see some recommendations there. Moving on to the other informational item from your committee's meeting, we did present a recommendation to the Sheriff's Department and the judge's office. Sheriff Riles and I stood arm in arm before the Courts and Public Safety Committee to report to them that we will be recommending a 192-bed expansion of the jail. That's after a great deal of analysis in really two areas, the money to build and the money to operate once it's built. And we've done I really want to commend the judge's administration, my old staff, Justice Coates, and the Sheriff's Department for all the due diligence done there to arrive at the right size project to recommend. And so I anticipate calling a special meeting of the Quorum Court to discuss that matter before next committee meetings. So that'll be in the next couple of weeks probably. So you look forward to that. We'll coordinate with your schedules to get that done. But we feel like that's an important enough project that there needs to be a meeting dedicated solely to that purpose. It'll be the largest capital project the county's ever undertaken. It's an important matter. So I look forward to that. And so you can look forward to receiving that call. Thank you, Justice Coates, for your leadership and your entire committee for working on that. It's been a long series of meetings and digging for information and calculation, making assumptions and invalidating assumptions. And I'm personally pleased with where we're at. I'm comfortable with that recommendation. And I look forward to the full court being able to discuss that matter. Anything else on Courts and Public Safety? And Justice Klahowski, how about the Budget Committee?
Thank you, Judge. Our Budget Committee has met twice since our last full quorum court meeting. We have two appropriation ordinances, kind of regular appropriation ordinances on the agenda for today, and we have reported the Sheriff's Office Response Team ordinance, as well as the Circuit Court Third Division grant for that employee. We will be looking forward to ramping up our 2024 budget cycle here within the next month or so. Thank you, Judge.
Very good. Any questions for Justice Klahowski, Chair of Budget? Seeing none, thank you for that report. Justice Kendrick, Personnel Committee.
Judge, personnel met twice this month. We sent two ordinances for some grant-funded positions. We forwarded those to Budget and Finance for consideration. We also sent multiple resolutions for raises for the 2024 budget cycle for consideration of Budget and Finance. Thank you.
Very good. And just for clarification, that will be for next year's budget, so that'll be handled through your normal budget forming process?
Yes, sir. For the resolutions.
Thank you. Any questions for Justice Kendrick, Personnel Committee? All right, Justice Knight, Infrastructure Committee.
Thank you, Your Honor. Infrastructure didn't meet this month. You have the road report in front of you, and with 2.8 miles of road and 4.9 of chip seal, we do anticipate meeting next month and going forward from that.
Very good. Thank you for that. And there will be, I'll go ahead and let you know, for the Infrastructure Committee, as Chairman knows, there will be some requests for floodplain variances. I know that falls on the Quorum Court to handle those variance requests, and that's appropriately fitted to the Infrastructure Committee, as that's infrastructure. So look forward to that. Any questions for Chairman Knight? All right, I believe that's all of the standing committee reports. Moving on, are there any public comments on any item on the agenda or before the court today? By the way, I don't think I welcomed everyone here. I see some new faces. It's good to see you all. I'm glad to see you here. Welcome to our Quorum Court and county business. Yes, sir.
I have a comment. I don't know what's on y'all's agenda today. I'm running a little late. But I'd like to bring the attention to the following research. Faulkner County Court in 2019 appointed a women's organization called Stop DV to take over victim services over the Justice Building at Circuit Courthouse. On July the 6th of this year, I've got full evidence my children's mother committed an
murder. Honestly, this is a government body. We're conducting the people's business. We'll do so with order, and that includes having an agenda. And whatever you're discussing is not on our agenda. So if you'd like to see me after the meeting, I'll be glad to talk to you and figure out what it is that you need done. But the item you've got that you're discussing is not an item of Quorum Court business tonight. Right? Be happy to speak with you after the meeting.
I'm going to pick you up on that, Mr. Dobson.
All right, be happy.
I'm going to be right here until you come talk to me.
I'll be here. Thank you. Again, thank you for your complying with that. We do conduct our meetings with order. We've got a lot of business to conduct here. And if we go off the rails, we're not going to get any of the people's business done. So thank you for complying with that. Any other public comments? Any special reports? Seeing none, any old business come before the court? Any new business come before the court? All right, I see proposed amended ordinance 23-23, that's an appropriation. What's your pleasure?
Motion to approve ordinance 23, amended ordinance 23-23.
All right.
Second.
Motion and a second. Counselor?
Amended ordinance 23-23, sponsored by Budget and Finance, be enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance entitled an appropriation ordinance amending and correcting ordinance 23-23 and to amend and supplement Faulkner County ordinance 22-63 and to declare an emergency.
All right, we've had a motion, second, and reading. Are there any comments? Justice Lahosky, if you want to take the lead and explain what's
Yes. Thank you, Judge. I believe we passed this last month in full court, and there were a few small errors in it. So this ordinance is really to amend those errors. Those errors are nothing material, nothing substantial. I think they're just a few numbers were off here and there. Not the dollar sign numbers, the other numbers. Treasurer Sampson may have some more color tab to that.
Wait, Treasurer. Yeah, and I'm not to confuse anything here. Section 3 there is the main part that I asked to I think Section 2 is the same. Section 1 and Section 3 are with the cleanup. The whole thing on Section 3 was we want to spend that money out of that capital improvement fund on, for a county purchase. We don't move that over to County General as revenue and then spend it on County General, and then 3 or 4 years from now when the reporting comes in, we'll want to know why and what and how it was spent. So I asked that we spend it out of the same place in which we currently have it and not move it to spend it.
Thank you for that. Any questions? Any further comments or questions? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes. Motion carries. The ordinance passes. Thank you. Next we have tab number 4. That's proposed ordinance 23-25. It's also an appropriation. Justice Lahosky.
Motion for approval of proposed ordinance 23-25.
We have a second.
Second.
All right, Counselor, we have a reading.
Proposed ordinance 23-25, sponsored by Budget and Finance, be enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 22-63, dated December 20, 2022, and to declare an emergency.
All right, we have motion, second, and reading. Are there any questions, or just Lahosky, if you want to take the lead?
Thank you, Judge. Justices, this is kind of our normal appropriation ordinance where some things are just moved around for our elected officials. I think the biggest thing we have here is sections 8 and 9, which County Administrator Higgins explained in our committee meeting that we've had a lot of air conditioner issues, and it's basically taking money that was living elsewhere in maintenance budget and moving it into the correct line item so we can take care of those air conditioning issues. I think that's right.
Thank you. Yeah, among other things, and I think we're up to 14 or 15 HVAC units county facility-wide gone out and had to be replaced this year, so yeah, rough year for that. Any questions for Justice Lahosky? Any comments? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, roll call vote, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Our motion carries. The ordinance passes. Next, tab number 5, proposed ordinance 23-26. To establish Sheriff's Office Response Team. What is your plan? Justice Kendrick, I believe.
Yes, sir. Motion to put 23-26 on the table.
Second.
Okay, motion second. Counselor, can we have a reading?
Ordinance 23-26, sponsored by Justice Chris Kendrick, be enacted by the Quorum Court, Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an ordinance to create one full-time investigator position and one full-time peer recovery specialist position in the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office to create an overdose response team as part of the Arkansas Opioid Recovery Partnership.
Thank you for that reading. Justice Kendrick?
Thank you, Judge. So Court and all those in the audience, I think we've got a unique opportunity here to really strengthen the Sheriff's Office and the county by approving these two positions. These are new positions for the Sheriff's Office if they are approved. It's for a full-time investigator that is focused on the overdoses and opioids, and as well as a peer support specialist. And I want to commend Sheriff Riles and Chief Woolley. Chief went out and went after this money and got a grant. And this money, there's been discussions about it, and Arkansas kind of took a unique approach with this opioid epidemic lawsuit that they put on. And instead of every city, every county, every little entity doing the lawsuit, the state of Arkansas Association of Counties, Municipal League, they all went together, joined in this lawsuit, and Arkansas was the first ones to get a settlement. And from that money, they opened up grants, and that's what this is. It's money that is from that lawsuit that we are able to get here in our community if this is approved. And being part of a team that's working the drug epidemic, I know Chief Woolley talked about it would serve as a resource for other municipalities here in Faulkner County as well. It's for 2 years. It's fully funded. I think this is a great opportunity. I think it will do great things here in Faulkner County as a resource for the Sheriff's Office. Chief, I'll open it up to you. If you got some brief comments that you'd like to make about it, how you see this impacting your department in the county, and we'll go from there.
Chief Deputy Woolley.
Do y'all mind if I stand over here?
Okay.
So as several of y'all sat in through the last committee meeting, when I gave the stats of what we're seeing in Faulkner County, unfortunately, going down to our juvenile, our children of the county involved in fentanyl, it is our hope with this grant to take a much stronger approach to investigations on overdoses, fatality overdoses, and non-fatalities, and working with our 20th District Drug Task Force, our task force guys, and the DEA. Coupled with that is our peer recovery specialist that will work with the families of either a fatality overdose or non-fatality overdose and provide them with counseling and available services to help them. I'm also looking at utilizing that person in our detention facilities if possible to help mentor and provide services while in jail to those who suffer from addiction and once they get out. This grant will come with a reporting system to monitor our progress. It's reports that I will have to submit to the state. I think it's monthly or quarterly. So we'll be able to track our diligence there. Along with those two positions comes some equipment. With this grant, they are funding 2 years' worth of some very expensive forensic software, because a lot of time our evidence is digital and it's on phones. With this upgraded software, we'll be able to utilize that in our investigations to recover our dealers and other evidence. That's a shortened version of kind of what I gave last week, but if y'all have any questions,
thank you, Chief.
Be more than happy to help.
Thank you for that. And Justice Kendrick, you still have the floor, but I would just, if you wouldn't mind, I'd just tell you, it's an epidemic out there. I applaud our Sheriff's Department, and the Personnel Committee for making this recommendation, but all the work that you've been putting into this, the Sheriff, and your administration for its willingness to hit it head on. Getting a grant, anybody who's been involved with that, you understand how much work it takes and what paperwork and headache and uncertainty and all of that. Anyway, I commend you for that, just me personally. And I have been impacted with people I know very closely and the efforts to address that in our community. We know that you don't have a crystal ball. I see a circuit judge and a former circuit judge, district judge in here. We don't have the answers. I know both of you do great jobs with that, and you've done that through your careers, but you'll be the first to tell us we don't have a magic wand. But that doesn't mean we walk up and give up, walk away and give up, right? Like I said, I've been personally affected. I applaud you for those efforts, and I wish you all the success in the world. I certainly hope the Corn Court supports this. And Chairman Kendrick, excuse me.
Thank you, Judge. Now, I'll yield and allow my fellow justices to ask any questions or comments that they have. Thank you.
Judge?
Yes, just Lyon.
The $55,000, is that just for this year?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
I assume outside of the 18.9, is the rest of the salary for the rest of the year? The $18,900, the equipment?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. They're paying us 1 year at a time, so it'll be, they gave us a check for the first year, and then come next year, they'll give us a check for the rest.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, roll call vote.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes. Motion carries and the ordinance passes. Thank you all for that. Tab number six, proposed ordinance 23-27. This will be the first of three readings, so tonight there will be no vote on this. This will be the first reading. So, what is your pleasure? Tab number six, Justice Strain.
The Pine Village Volunteer Fire Department is just simply asking to be put on the ballot for a raise of their dues. And this is the first reading, and we're just trying to, I think I'll ask our attorney to, if he has any comments on that.
Yeah, we just need to put a motion. Yeah,
okay. I'd like to put this on the floor for session.
Second.
Motion second. Counselor, reading, please.
Ordinance 23-27, election for Pine Village Volunteer Fire Department dues on each residence and business, sponsored by Justice Samuel Strain. An ordinance providing for the election at the next general election for those voting within the geographical boundaries, more specifically described as area ESN 316 attached as Exhibit A within Bonner County, Arkansas, and prescribing other matters pertaining thereto.
Thank you, Justice Strain. Do you have any further comments?
Well, I'd just like to say that we've done this for several other departments. The fire departments in the county as a whole are really living on a shoestring. It's amazing that they can do the things that they do with this, with the budget. Their fuel costs and all the other things associated with their service have gone up just like everything else in the community. And so I appreciate the court supporting this ordinance.
Counselor, if you would explain the mechanics of how this is, how those dues are set, how they're established, how they're amended.
Yeah, fire departments are a little bit of a complicated subject. It depends on how a fire department is organized and established as to how they can regulate their dues. In this particular case, Pine Village, their only option to increase dues is by going to the people of their district and putting it to a vote of the people. We have one just administrative issue we do need to take up on this, though, and that is, and we use the blueprint of the former ordinance and resolution that we passed last year for this one. If y'all recall, last year, the Quorum Court approved three different fire departments to go to the ballot: Cato, Highway 286, and Liberty, I believe. And in those cases, we were kind of in a rush, and so each one of those had an emergency clause in it. In talking with Justice Strain and in talking with the members of the Pine Village Fire Department, they wanted to make sure that the Quorum Court had plenty of opportunity to discuss the matter, so they did not want to put an emergency clause. So it's my error that an emergency clause appears on this, and so we need a motion to remove the emergency clause from this ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Is that all clear? Does everybody understand? So, is it true, Counselor, that honestly the timing with the way elections turn out, it doesn't need to pass tonight? It's too early. It's before the window where they would even be eligible to get that on the ballot. Is that correct?
That's right. There's a specific statutory window that basically this ordinance and resolution have to fit in, and we are aiming for that to be that November Quorum Court meeting. So that's basically, tonight would be the first reading, October would be the second, and then November would be the third and final reading. And obviously, there potentially could be changes, and if we have changes, that restarts the clock, but we just wanted to make sure that the Quorum Court had minimum 3 months to digest and discuss and whatever else may be needed.
And I got us off track a little bit on that, but there is a motion second to amend to remove the emergency clause to accommodate that timeline. And so, I think we do that by voice vote, right? Okay. All right. So, all in favor of removing that, adopting that motion to remove the emergency clause, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so that ordinance is amended to drop that language about the emergency clause. So, we've still got the motion Second and reading. We've had that. We don't need to vote on it.
I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead. It's just a matter of whether there's any discussion on this tonight, and we can move on.
Any discussion?
Just sort of a question.
I saw Justice Lahosky.
Councilor Murphy, I'm looking at this one and the resolution together, and I'm seeing different numbers.
That's a good point, too. And what I would say to that is I think there's been some discrepancy in just discussing this issue with the volunteer fire department. There's been a couple of emails that went back and forth, and I think in that haste there's been some discrepancy, and they could answer better than I could on exactly what it is they're wanting. But yes, we need to make those match on both the resolution and the ordinance, just as we have in the past. And so I think there's just been some wording or some language change in order to try and make things as correct as possible, but still there's work to be done here.
Okay, so does it matter that we're reading it incorrectly for the first reading?
Here's what I would suggest. Let's discuss it tonight. Let me meet with the Pine Village Fire Department later this month to make sure they're getting what they want proposed on there. I can meet with Justice Strain as well, and then we can come back next month and there will be amendments that need to be made. We'll simply have to waive that second reading to kind of put us back on that clock.
Copy that. Thank you.
Good question. I think Justice Tyler.
Yeah, it's so unclear. First reading tonight, second reading October, third reading November, and then that would vote. And to put it on the ballot in March?
Well, it's really February.
February?
Because early voting starts February 17th or something like that.
Gotcha. We have the language by December.
And so that district is the one who votes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And for clarification on that, if you don't live in that fire district, it won't be on your ballot. So people who vote on that will vote whether their fire district increases their dues so that they are able to continue providing services. And we certainly appreciate them and all the fire departments out there, volunteer, full-time, city, rural, underappreciated, underpaid. We appreciate what you do. I see a few of them out here tonight. Thank you for coming. Any further questions on this resolution? Justice White?
I'm probably jumping ahead a little bit. Can we confirm which CSN this is? I haven't seen the fire districts in a while because our ordinance has 316 and the resolution has 318.
I'm sure I can look it up here on one map, but off the top of your head, do you remember if you were 316 ESN or 318? Jimmy? Nope. I have to look it up here on one map. I'll get back to you.
All right. Thank you.
Good question. Justice Coates, do you have a question?
Yes, sir, Judge. I was just going to ask Councilor Murphy if he would explain, we went over it in committee, but explain why there's an ordinance and a resolution both on the same topic.
The resolution is the document that goes to the election commission and basically calls for the election. The ordinance goes to the elected officials and calls for them to collect, to both assess and then collect the amounts that could be approved by the voters. So basically there's two different documents because there's two different purposes.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
Just
slide.
This is more of a question for Ms. Darter. Since you're handling the elections, obviously, as Pine Village knows, City of Conway is annexing quite a bit of area in here. What is it going to be for residents? Does it have to be 30 days? A resident within 30 days of the election?
No, they won't have a resident or a clause. Okay. Okay. They do have to be registered to vote within 30 days.
But so if they're annexed into a city, though, they...
If the annex will probably stop at least 30 days. Okay. Actually, it has to be more than that. Before we do this, it'll stop at that time when we do the ballot because we can't change the ballot after January the 18th.
Thank you.
Good question. Any further questions? And not to complicate matters, but there are other ways fire districts are formed, and other districts may have to handle things differently, but under the statute that form Pine Village Fire District, this is the way that's to be handled. So without further question or comment, we'll move on. The next item will be the resolution following that couples with proposed ordinance 2327. This will be proposed resolution 23-07.
Judge, I make a motion we bring resolution 2307 to the floor for discussion.
Second.
Okay, motion second, Council.
Proposed resolution 23-07, a resolution calling for an election and placing a ballot referendum to the people during the general election in Faulkner County, Arkansas, on the question of increasing fire dues for the Pine Village Volunteer Fire Department and prescribing other matters pertaining thereto.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Justice Strain? Anything?
No, like I said before, I just think they need the opportunity to raise their dues. They've got equipment, and the cost of their equipment's going up, the cost of their fuel's going up, and just like most of the fire departments, they're really working on a shoestring budget, and they need this rate increase. So thank you for supporting
me. Thank you. Any comments, Counselor?
No, no,
you addressed this resolution a few minutes ago. But the one thing that I would add to this, it can be confusing, all right, to anybody, attorney or otherwise. But what the quorum court has to do by statute is vote whether or not to put the issue on the ballot for the people who are served by Pine Village. The people who are served by Pine Village, if it goes to ballot, they will vote whether or not to increase their dues. So that's mechanically what's happening. Our quorum court's not voting whether or not to raise them. They're voting whether or not the people of that district ought to have the opportunity to address that issue on the ballot. It can be confusing. Counselor?
Unlike the ordinance, there is no three reading requirement in law. We just wanted to make sure that the resolution was kind of part of the package that y'all were considering. So it's really more here for your notification than anything. So we'll continue to do this next month as well. We'll have the resolution as part of it. That way it's just no surprise to anybody when it does come to November.
Very good. And again, so there's no action to be taken tonight on this resolution. But without any further comment, we'll move to tab number 7. I want to thank the firemen and representatives of the fire district here tonight. Thank you for that. Tab number 7, proposed ordinance 23-28, sponsored by Budget Finance.
You have to make a motion to put ordinance 23-28 on the table and read by title only.
Second. Okay, motion second. Councilor Reed, please.
Proposed ordinance 23-28, sponsored by Budget Finance, be enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled, an ordinance to create a full-time position in the Faulkner County Circuit Court, 3rd Division, and to declare an emergency.
Justice Kendrick.
Thank you, Judge. Once again, Court, I think we've got a unique opportunity here. This just happens to be the night that we've got all the grants for drug issues that are going on in our county, and this one happens to be in Judge Boston's court. What we've got here before us, and I know we've discussed this a lot tonight, and you've already heard a lot if you were here during the committee meetings, but this is for a full-time grant-funded position that's for 1 year. As just Judge Clausen stated earlier, it's effective through the end of September of next year. The county already has the money. This is a state grant. Judge Clausen and his staff worked and got this grant for Faulkner County, so it's been approved. The money's here, and his ask tonight is that we approve this. It's for a peer support specialist within his drug court, and I'll open it up to Judge. If you would just want to give us a brief overview, Judge, of what this position is going to do for you and what it brings for the county.
Yes, sir. So this is going to be, again, for a peer support specialist, again, entitled. It's much like what Chief got a grant approved for earlier. So this will add some services and access to resources for those participants in our drug court. Right now, we're about 47 participants. They'll help out with screening to identify folks that would be maybe benefit for the drug court program and resources that we offer, and will hopefully increase our success rate, which has been very high so far. But again, as we mentioned previously, we have a long list of job duties and responsibilities, and one of which will, of course, be to work with a peer support specialist that can be employed by the Sheriff's Department. Ready to answer any questions?
Thank you. That's Circuit Judge Chuck Clausen, his proud father. Longtime Circuit Judge Ed Clausen's in the back of the room. Current District Judge and his mother, Donna Clausen, is here. I'm not sure why they're here. They're always active and up on the current issues of the county, but I know they're proud, Judge. And I just want to take a moment to say what everybody else here is thinking in the audience and on our court. We're just thinking, you could be mailing it in. People around me hear me say that often. You could be mailing it in and we probably wouldn't know. The citizens driving by out there on Locust Street probably wouldn't know the difference. You don't have to be pushing for this. So I want to applaud you and your staff, your willingness to do this. Like I said, I've been personally affected. I would hazard a guess that everyone in this room has been personally affected by that, people they love. And so thank you for that.
Judge, I appreciate that. This is Julian Wiggins. He's one of my counselors in the drug court program. One of the things I want to convey, and hopefully you've already caught on, is my absolute passion for the program. I can tell you that everyone in our community has been personally affected by addiction in one way or another. And I truly believe that probably every dollar that's invested in the drug court program is going to save $20, $30, $40 down the road as far as law enforcement, incarceration, transport, DHS, all of those layers that goes into picking up the slack for those folks that are addicted and have pulls them away from their families. My father started this drug court program over 20 years ago. This means more to me than just about anything. And so, other than being a father myself, this is what makes me most proud. This is what affects our community. This is what changes lives. It puts families back together. It gets people right on the right track. It lets them realize the potential that they all have. So, again, I know that it's much needed, the extra bed capacity, but I sure hope to keep some people out of there. So,
you know, you as people, whether you're in public service, I speak this to the JPs and people out in the audience, what you spend your focus and time and attention and resources on is what's important to you. Anybody can talk about it. But issues like this are how issues begin. That's how you move the needle in the right direction. So thank you for coming here tonight. Justice Kendrick, I'll yield back to you.
Thank you, Judge. Court, as you've heard, I think this is a great opportunity for us to make an impact in our community in Faulkner County. Like Judge Clausen has said, everybody's been impacted in some way or another or seen the impact of what drugs does. And tonight we've been presented with two unique opportunities with Chief Woolley and the Sheriff's Department going after those grant-funded positions, Judge Clausen and his court going after those grant-funded positions. We are very fortunate to have individuals in leadership that are willing to do that work behind the scenes to get these. These are free resources that they went out of their way to try to get to improve our community. I just ask that the court pass this tonight. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you. Any questions for Justice Kendrick, Judge Clausen, or comments on the topic? Justice Lahosky?
I have a question, but I don't know who it's for. In the past, and I referenced the COPS grant in our Budget and Finance Committee meeting, I feel like we had our own department set up for that one, for those positions within that grant. And just looking at this, we see money outgoing, but we don't see a revenue from a grant or anything like that. I don't know if any of y'all can speak to that or not.
Well, I know that our treasurer had to leave. He had a child with some kind of event, had to leave after his report. Might have been a question for him, unless our county clerk has to know offhand.
Okay. It wasn't determined. I didn't know if it was going into his department or if the treasurer's going to set up a special grant, and he didn't make a comment. It is missing an anticipated and projected into it. Also, the previous one that the sheriff's office did not anticipate or project that money into the budget as well.
I noticed
that. So both of them are missing that on these ordinances.
Okay. That's what I was curious about. Thank you.
And so I would just suggest look forward to, you know, an appropriation, maybe next month's normal appropriation to clean that up if we can get to that.
Yeah, we can just do an appropriate, an anticipated in on the budget because you've already done it here, right. And then we'll just anticipate it in next month.
Thank you.
Good catch. And any other questions or comments? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, roll call vote, please.
Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Shaw.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Motion carries. Ordinance passes. Congratulations and thank you.
Thank you.
Moving right along to the what's normally the appointments section of our agenda. There are none this month, so we move along to announcements. I've got a couple of announcements. First, I'll ask if there are any other announcements.
Judge, are you making an announcement regarding the fair?
Yes, sir.
Just
south.
I just wanted to say, sorry, my voice. I just want to say I saw Miss Mary Beth Gross out there. I want to thank her and all the extension service, those of 4-H. They have played, everybody in the county has put on so much effort into the livestock shows for the kids. I've got a grandchild who's been real successful out there, and I was out there like yesterday while she was showing. Saw lots and lots of kids with lots and lots of ribbons, lots of awards. A lot of good things are coming from that. They're developing leadership qualities and participation in the community. And I just want to say thank you for all that. And announce that the premium sale for the livestock show is Saturday at 10 a.m., where you can come out and support these young children.
Amen. I will see you there, and I would invite anyone, past or future, with children who are going to be involved at all, or if you're just an interested citizen and proud of your county and our young people, to come to that live, that premium sale, Saturday at 10 o'clock.
Yes,
and it's in the area behind, if you go inside where the booths are, it's straight on through there. And there's usually some pretty good food back there. But come back there to the arena and just, in fact, you don't have to wait for the premium sale. Go early, go tonight, and go through those barns, I'll call them. And, you know, each animal out there, I want you to recognize the amount of work poured into that animal by a young person. And the leadership from our extension and their school and their parents. You know, I appreciate those efforts. Funnest thing about the fair for me. And Mary Beth Gross, our county agent, extension agent, is here. If you've got any words, feel free. I hate to put you on the spot. It really is, and there's an aspect to the auction for that premium sale. And if you are not familiar with those goings on, find somebody who's familiar and go. And you don't have to spend some of the grandparents are awfully proud of their grandchild, and some of the prices are unbelievably high as compared to the normal market for livestock. And some of them actually are warranted and really upper crust lines of jeans there. But you can go put added money on an animal, and you can just do a good deed. You don't have to have $5,000 in your pocket. If you want to put $50 added money on an animal to express your support for that child, you can do that. All right, just meet with someone who's familiar with the auction. And you don't have to worry if you're tying yourself down on a $3,500 animal or $5,000 or $150 chicken or something, you know. So I would just encourage you to be involved. And just Sal, do you have anything else to add?
Yes, sir. You don't have to take the animal home either. If you find it, but there's also, I believe, I'm not sure exactly who sponsored 4-H FFA, but if you sign up as a bidder and you donate anything, they're going to serve you a catfish dinner after the sale.
So
what if I want to bring it home?
That is not custom, but yeah. Better watch what you ask for Judge Irwin over in Lone Oak County. Bid on the meanest rooster ever to live, according to him, and it terrorized all his horses and everything else. So. But anyway, no, those, I would encourage you to go out there. I'm just proud of our Faulkner County Fair. I'm proud of our parade that we had. If any of you were there, I know I've seen several faces. Some of you were involved with it. And I had a really good turnout of people to come watch the fair, and we had some great participation in the parade, though. And really just proud of that. Go out and support and have a good time. Go daytime, go nighttime, start on Tuesday, and run through Saturday evening. So we want to support our Faulkner County Fair, and to we who are elected officials in Faulkner County, really, we ought to own that and go support our fair. So any other comment on that, on the fair? All right, I would also, the next and last announcement, I want to draw your attention. This is a pretty tie. Look at that purple tie. I think it's the first time I've ever gotten an opportunity to wear it. I don't know, I got it for Christmas or something in a multi-pack of shirts and ties that I got from somebody. But I'm proud of University of Central Arkansas, like all of our higher education institutions here, and we're blessed with three of them right here in Faulkner County. But today, UCA had a big announcement. Today was the grand opening of the Wingate Center for Fine and Performing Arts. And we've all seen the building going up. It's there at, what is it, Bruce and Donaghy. Big building, and actually two buildings. But it is state-of-the-art in a number of ways. And I think one or two of the accommodations in there are of the only kind in the world like that. One of them is, I think we've got UCA journalism students here. I welcome you guys here today, and maybe a UCA professor there. Do you like this tie? Can you see that? Isn't that a beautiful purple tie? I'm proud to put that on, and I was blessed to attend that today. I had an invitation, and I wanted to go support them. We are proud of UCA, and we're glad you're here. We would invite all of our students to stay here. You're developing worldwide talent, but we'd be happy for you to stay here. We're glad you're here. So congratulations to UCA. They also announced they completed their capital campaign early. Actually, raised $109 million, I think, through their latest capital contribution campaign. And so really just excited. And I want to take a moment to recognize UCA, thank them for what they did. All right. Any other announcements? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Judge,
yes.
We can't ask everyone to please exit out this side of the building when we leave.
Motion to adjourn.
This door?
Yes.
Out of this room?
Yes.
This door. All right. We'll county. Let's see. ARP Administrator Tom Anderson will shepherd you out that direction if you could. You'll just go down the stairs. We are adjourned.